From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled His Service, Face, and Name. The text is Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 and 4. His servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Three choice blessings will be ours in the glory land. His servants shall serve him. No other lords shall oppress us. No other service shall distress us. We shall serve Jesus always, perfectly, without weariness and without error. This is heaven to a saint, in all things to serve the Lord Christ, and to be owned by Him as His servant is our soul's high ambition for eternity. And they shall see His face. This makes the service delightful. Indeed, it is the present reward of service. We shall know our Lord, for we shall see Him as He is. To see the face of Jesus is the utmost favor that the most faithful servant of the Lord can ask. What more could Moses ask than, "Let me see thy face"? And his name shall be in their foreheads. They gaze upon their Lord till his name is photographed upon their brows. They are acknowledged by him, and they acknowledge him. The secret mark of inward grace develops into the public sign manual of confessed relationship. O Lord, give us these three things in their beginnings here, that we may possess them in their fullness in thine own abode of bliss. An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. For many weeks now, Dr. Cairns has been conducting a series of intensive studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, the greatest exposition of the doctrine of salvation to be found in the Bible. Now he comes to chapter 5, one of the pivotal chapters in the Epistle. Having portrayed the sinfulness of the human race, and having explained that salvation is by faith alone in Christ's substitutionary death on the cross, Paul now sets forth the glorious results of justification by faith. The scripture passage is chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and Dr. Cairns will take verses 1 and 2 as his text for a message entitled, The Secure Standing of the Justified. Now, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now, we're turning this evening to Romans chapter 5. This is a great chapter. It's one of the pivotal chapters of the Bible. I have deliberately taken the early part of Romans at a very slow pace for the good reason, as I'll show you, that it is the major exposition of the book and its major theme. I would like to have about a year to do Romans 5, just because it is such a pivotal chapter of the book and one of the most amazing and outstanding portions of all the Bible. But I don't have a year to do that, so we will have to do it a lot more quickly. But we are going to read tonight the first 10 verses of the chapter, though I'm not attempting to deal with the first 10 verses, sorry, the first 11 verses, but this is the first great section of this chapter. Romans chapter 5, the first 11 verses of the chapter. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. By the end of Romans chapter 4, the apostle has reached the end of his major exposition of the main theme of his book. You remember back in chapter 1 and verse 17, he announced that theme. He had already said, the previous verse, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's a wonderful text and a wonderful theme. If you remember how we stated it then, that God has provided a perfect righteousness in Christ for guilty sinners. A righteousness which they receive by faith alone. A righteousness on the ground of which they are fully justified before God. Now that's the theme that Paul has taken. In the sections that follow, he has been expounding that, elaborating upon it, making it absolutely clear what his message is. He has shown the need for such a way of salvation. Both the Gentiles and the Jews, all guilty before God. And then he showed the nature of this way of salvation and justification. Starting at chapter 3, verse 21, and running right through the end of chapter 4, this has been his great burden to expound this way of justification by means of an imputed righteousness. The apostle does something that I think very few commentators take time to note. I was interested to find that John Brown of Edinburgh bases the entire outline of his fairly large book on the Epistle of Romans on this outline of how Paul deals, how he sets forth his teaching here. That starting in chapter 3, verse 21, he makes a series of statements, very pithy statements, that he goes on to explain more fully. And indeed you will find as you take these statements that the rest of the exposition takes them up one by one and begins to expound them. It's amazing when you read some of Paul's commentators, they can come to some odd conclusions. Some of them will talk about the great logic, and then others will say, there's no logic here, Paul's just carried away. Well, I always get worried when pinheads talk about an inspired apostle being carried away. But actually, starting at 321, you'll notice he gives you nine different characteristics of this method of justifying sinners. He says, first, it's without the law. Then second, he said, it is witnessed by the law and the prophets. Third, it is by the faith of Christ. In verses 21 and 22, he makes it clear that it is manifested to all. And then it takes effect on all them that believe. It is unto and upon all them that believe. The sixth thing he makes clear is that in this way of saving sinners by this free justification, God treats all men, Jews and Gentiles, in the very same way. For, says Paul, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then you have those great statements in chapter 3, verses 24 and 25 and 26. In reference to man, this way of salvation is, the proper word is gratuitous. In reference to man, it is marked by gratuitousness. He has justified us freely. And I'm not going to rehash what I said back then. But then in reference to God, it is marked by graciousness. Because he has justified us freely by his grace. And then the climactic statement is that it is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. And it's in this way that God can be just, and yet he can justify the ungodly who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is how the Apostle Paul sets out the steps that he's going to take. He gives you a map of an extended sermon. This is how he's going to be expounding his message, and indeed how he, as we have seen, I trust, has expounded it. On the basis of these things, he comes to some wonderful conclusions. If this is true, and it is, then there is no ground of boasting. He was a Jew, and he knew his own people. And he knew how boastful they were. I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but some people have asked me if I would not be dealing with this. The answer is no, not at the moment. But there is a new theory that is sweeping. Maybe that's too strong a word, but it gives the appearance at least of sweeping some parts of the Reformed camp. And that is this so-called new perspective on Paul. Be very, very careful when you get in the 21st century new perspectives on something as basic as the doctrine of justification by faith. Because you will find in almost every instance, I'm tempted to say in every instance, for I certainly don't know of any exception to the rule, that it is not a new perspective. And it is my opinion, those in that camp will disagree with me, but I can't help that they're wrong. It is my opinion that this new perspective is nothing more or less than a Protestant restatement of the doctrine and dogma of the Council of Trent. And that's a very serious statement to make about Reformed theologians. But the reality is that they want to deny this, that the problem that Paul was dealing with was the boastfulness of the Jews and their dependence upon works religion. They want to take the Jews as simply being wrapped up in their nationalism rather than their works religion. Well, without getting into the whole thing, I will say this to you, that Paul says there's no boasting, and he was talking about boasting in works. If you are under the wrath of God, and there's nothing you can do to make yourself right with God, and you're plunging down by your own merits to an everlasting pit of destruction, and God enters in and provides a righteousness that has absolutely nothing to do with anything you have ever done in your life or ever will do in your life, a righteousness that is perfectly, fully, finally accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ, and which God reckons to you in union with Him, imputes to you, places to your account, then obviously you have nothing to boast about in yourself. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? By a law of works? No, because as he goes on to say in the next chapter, if you work for something, you deserve the wages of what you worked for. You deserve as a reward. You deserve as something you have personally merited. What is coming to you? If you have worked for it and you get it, then it's yours by your personal and merited right. So, there's no boasting, but by what law? Not the law of works, but by the law of faith. Faith in Christ says there's no boasting. Then he has a second conclusion, and it is to emphasize that this righteousness may be received only by faith. And by faith only. There's a little nuance there, but I want you to get it. Cover all the bases. You see, the Council of Trent, the Roman Catholic Church to this day, would still believe you're saved by faith. This is one of the fuzzy areas of evangelicals and Catholics together, one of the areas that they're using to blur the issues, to promote ecumenical unity. You could go to the Pope of Rome himself and he would say, yes, I believe in salvation by faith. But he does not believe in justification by faith alone. Nor does he believe in justification by an imputed righteousness as distinct from an infused righteousness received by faith alone. Third conclusion, this great salvation, this justification by imputed righteousness, is equally needed by all men and equally suitable to all men, whether Jews or Gentiles. And the final wonderful statement in 3:31 is that it does not make void the law of God, but it establishes it. And Paul was very keen to make that point because his Jewish objectors attacked his message by charging that it diminished and it dishonored the law. Paul says it's the very opposite. You're the people who are boasting of the law, yet you're the very people, as he has shown in chapter 2, who dishonor the law. Where is the law kept? There's a beautiful picture of this in the Old Testament. Remember Moses coming down from the mount, and he had the tables of the law in his hand, and he came upon the apostasy, the scene of apostasy in the children of Israel. There was the perfect law of God in the hands of man, and what happened to it? It was broken. He smashed it. Now what happened then? The Lord gave two more tables, written with the finger of God. And they were kept intact and perfect. Where? Inside the Ark of the Covenant. Deuteronomy 10 gives you this beautiful picture. That Ark is Christ. The entire typology of the tabernacle points you to Christ. What a picture. In the hand of man, a broken law, a dishonored law. But in the perfect obedience of God's dear Son incarnate, you have the perfectly kept law of God. And so by his obedience and then by his oblation, by his life and by his death, by his meeting the precept and then by his paying of the penalty, the Lord Jesus Christ has honored the law of God.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.